A very good morning to you listening to Radio Mirai Democracy in Action. Hello and welcome to the program with me, Sunny Martin. It's now close to 3 months since the steering committee of the National Dialogue started their work after they were sworn into office on the 22nd of May this year by the Chief Justice in front of the President at Freedom Hall here in Juba. The National Dialogue is ideally a comprehensive, inclusive and transparent negotiating process aimed at resolving conflict and paving the way for political transformation and sustainable peace in South Sudan. And in South Sudan, issues have been raised concerning the effectiveness and the authenticity of the National Dialogue. On Democracy in Action today, we are going to look at an insight of an understanding of the condition under which the National Dialogue has been or can be a promising tool of peace to South Sudan. Joining me to discuss all this is Dr. Lual Deng, who is the Executive Director of the Ebony Center, a think tank in South Sudan or Juba, and also a coordinator of the National Dialogue Secretariat. Welcome to Radio Mirai.
Thank you.
First of all, let's begin by telling us briefly. We understand that you are an accomplished former World Bank economist and now the Managing Director of Ebony Center for Strategic Studies, a leading think tank. Tell us more about your center and how the center became part of the Secretariat of the National Dialogue Steering Committee.
Thank you very much. The center was established in November 2011 to look on the issues facing South Sudan. Its main objective was to assist the people of South Sudan to leapfrog into the 21st century. So basically examine challenges as far as development is concerned, signing institutions and so forth.
Okay. And let's right away move to our topic of the day. That's the National Dialogue. Has everybody's now aware about it? It's almost 3 months since your committee was formed. What progress has so far been made by the committee?
I think we've made some progress. We happily surprised that things went very well. The first month was spent allowing the members of the steering committee to kind of brainstorm about whatever they thought about, and mostly focus on the root causes of the crisis facing the country. Following that, and they got their clear mandate, they are not the dialogue, they are the one to facilitate the dialogue as is specified in the concept note by the president, which was issued on 14 December 2016.
Right.
A second month was now, we felt that the secretary felt that there's a need to prepare the members of the steering committee, because they will be the conveners. They are the one who will convene the dialogue at the local level, which will be, we call local dialogue forums. So they will help identify the stakeholders, the constituents, like women, youth, farmers, regular forces, and so teachers, and so forth, to be the one now to select their own representative to the forum. So we felt that they need to be prepared. So experts were invited, international experts who have been involved with the National Dialogue in other countries.
They came to Juba.
They came to Juba, spent a month talking to, interacting with the members of the steering committee, telling them about the experiences in South Africa, in Tunisia, in Yemen, in Burundi.
And others. Now, what is the role of the secretariat in the entire National Dialogue process?
The role is to provide technical backstopping to the steering committee and to the leadership, and also to mobilize resources, financial and otherwise, like bringing the consultancies, our resources, and to really try to manage those resources also efficiently, but also give that guidance on what the experiences and others, and our own is unique, because it is most of the other dialogue forums in other countries, they were mostly top down.
Mm.
But ours is from the bottom up, from the grassroots to the regional and then the national dialogue forum.
Yes.
Will be at the end of the process. So ours is unique in its own way.
Yes. When the president was announcing the national dialogue in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly on the 14th of December 2016, like you just mentioned, he divided the whole process into three.
Yeah.
And since the National Dialogue Steering Committee is mandated to travel to the states to interact with the grassroots, this has not happened up now. Why?
Because as I was just explaining to you, that the first month is spent for them to interact and know themselves. The second month was preparing them to...
They didn't know themselves before, because these are all South Sudanese, I guess.
No, but they know themselves, but to know themselves with a new mandate.
Mm.
Yeah, to that this, you are not the one to do the dialogue. You are the one to go and listen. So, and help the people to set up the agenda. They are not the one to decide on the agenda. They have to facilitate. And so we now going through lesson learned from the second month, and we are preparing them. We hope beginning of September they will go to conduct consultation with the grassroots, identify the stakeholders or the constituencies, and then help them select their delegates and also help to facilitate the dialogue itself at the local level.
Okay.
That will take the whole month of
September.
They will
be going to all the former 10 states.
Hopefully. 10 states plus people and Abyei.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All 12.
Yeah, 12 and the diaspora and the refugee camps. And there will also be consultation with the... There's a subcommittee on security. There will be also...
The one headed by James Hott.
That's correct. And then there's also by Madam Jasmine, Comrade Jasmine Samuel... Honorable Yasmin, he's heading the what you call national capital.
The one for Juba.
The one for Juba.
Okay. Dr. Lual, some of the argument that have been put forward is that the problem facing this nation today has a result of the failure by the top leadership of this country, not at the bottom. And therefore, solution must be calculated at the top. So why do we need all South Sudanese to be part of this national dialogue?
There was never a conversation after we crossed the river, so to speak. After our independent people, South Sudanese voted overwhelmingly, over 98%, more than 98% for separation. They should have, in my view, there should have been a conversation between January 2011 to July 2011. Those 6 months, they should really have been spent for the South Sudanese to talk among themselves how to rule, how to do those things. Now, the president, in my view, initiated the process, after listening to various voices.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony was among the first to call for national dialogues since 2014, based on our own interaction with others. I've attended a number of conferences on national dialogue outside the country. So we felt, and the Sud Institute joined us in that call. And so we think that because the power struggle among the elite is the one which has created a disconnect between the top and the grassroots. And the president felt, rightly so in my view, that we need to consult
mm-hmm.
our people. We consulted during the war.
Is it not necessary to actually unite the top elites before you come down here, because that's where the problem is?
We cannot wait, because they are now two processes. You could say they are going two directions. I should have explained it earlier.
Where should more effort be put?
They should all go. The more effort, there's no contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
So at the top, you say there's a top-down, they will meet in the middle, and the bottom-up. The top-down is the leadership of the steering committee. Honorable Angelo Veda, who is the co-chair, has been traveling to South Africa, tried to meet with Dr. Riek Machar, traveled to Nairobi, he met with the former detainees.
And Khartoum, Ethiopia, all this.
Honorable Gabriel Yuan is the one who went to Khartoum. This is to try to let the elites understand the issues at hand. Secondly, you know that there's an attempt by His Excellency the President Yoweri Museveni of Uganda to try to revitalize the Arusha agreement of the SPLM reunification. So those efforts, they don't contradict. They also have to be done at the top, so there's harmony. But it is very important that the people, the grassroots, speak out. It is their time. They send their delegates through the regional dialogue forums and also the national dialogue forum.
Right. Several analysts and diplomats we spoke to say the national dialogue can only take place when there is security in the country and freedom of expression. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that, but will it work by itself? Those things will come through people talking, and the president declared unilateral ceasefire is not respected by the other side. So we are talking to the international community that you talk also to the other side. At the same time, the leadership of the steering committee, as I said, they are also trying to reach out. They will be still talking to Dr. Riek Machar through his associate, talking to we'll be trying to talk to General Cirilo, Governor Bokassaro. We talk with Dr. Lem Akol and others. This is to ensure that there's a ceasefire, cessation of hostilities. And that's why also we see in the national dialogue, the leadership and the secretariat, we see that the revitalization of the agreement, which is by IGAD, is an important point for us, because there's a point of convergence where they meet. Is if you can start with Chapter 2 of the agreement, especially one point, which is cessation of hostilities.
Right. Yeah. You are listening to Democracy in Action with me, Sani Martin, and my guest today is Dr. Lual Deng, who is actually the member of the National Dialogue Secretariat Committee. And if you got any question, please, our lines will be open to you shortly. 0912062079 or 0912062950. And my guest, like I said, is Dr. Lual Deng, the Executive Director of the Urban Center and also the Coordinator of the National Dialogue Secretariat here in Juba. He has been talking to you. Any question to him, you can call us and share with us. Dr. Lual, before we open our lines, you talked about the revitalization of the 2015 peace agreement, and there are apprehensions that the national dialogue process is a ploy by the ruling political elites to replace the 2015 peace agreement. These concerns lingers on despite assurances by your committee, that is the members of the steering committee, to the control. Will the South Sudan national dialogue process eventually replace the 2015 peace agreement?
There's no replacement. If anything, they are complementing each other. Recently, not just recently, last week, on the 16th, 17th, the IGAD
of this month, yeah.
IGAD convened a meeting in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, where a number of South Sudanese were invited, independent experts. I was among the people invited, Dr. Francis Deng, Professor Levin of the Center for Peace, who is also my deputy. I couldn't go the last minute because I was more involved with the preparation. But Dr. Francis went, and I understand what came out from that meeting was to reassure that there's no the national dialogue is higher than the peace agreement, is higher than the Arusha SPLM reunification agreement. And if any, they complement each other.
Okay.
And yeah.
And what should be done to change this perception?
It is what you are doing in the media, because also we have felt that, and many friends of ours, and even those who are doubting the national dialogue process, they are saying that communication has been weak on our side, and we hope to really push towards it. And and this, if he may allow me to say, Alfred Taban, who has recently been appointed also to Parliament as a member of Parliament, he is the head of the Communication and Information Unit in the Secretariat. And so it's for him to establish a communication system whereby
people will be informed,
all the time and get their views, and we are also going to soon, with the support from UNDP, a website is being designed for the national dialogue, where there will be Facebook, Twitter, reach out people through the
people
social media.
People can share their comments.
And we hope to engage South Sudanese youth, because they are the majority. 75% of the population is below 35 years old. So we will be hopefully looking for young people to create. And when I walk in, I heard your colleague talking, appealing to the youth, and use social media positively. Exactly, this is what we'll be calling for, and engage the youth and others so that they know what is needed. And this national dialogue is to create enabling environment for them and for the future of the country.
Over the weekend, the Secretariat issued their first report progress on the national dialogue process. What are some of the key highlights of this report, which you would like to share our listeners with, just briefly before our lines are open?
The key report is the fact that the leadership of the national dialogue is given full responsibility. The president at the beginning thought he was going to be the patron, has now given up that. Also the fact that we reach out, and the president agreed with the leadership that don't leave any Southerner out of the process, including Dr. Riek Machar, and they went to South Africa, tried to meet with Dr. Riek. It is an highlight. We also getting support from Germany, Japan, UNDP, UNMIS, and this is an highlight as far as the concern. Also the fact that detainees, political detainees are being released, like on the 11th, I believe, or it is the 10th of this month, about 31
former political detainees were released.
We will not call them political, but the political detainees, they were released. And the government is determined to challenging the secretariat and the leadership to make sure that nobody is detained for his or her political views. And we are working on that. We'll be working also with the ICRC so that to avoid any rumors, because some people want to continue talking rumors, X and Y is arrested. So we will be using verification. We are finding a cooperation from the security sector. You saw that their role, and they met with the leadership and the secretariat 2 weeks ago, and where they clearly saw their role, and their role is to create an enabling environment.
Okay. Yeah. You are listening to Democracy in Action with me, Sunny Martin. We are discussing the process of the national dialogue. Here with me is Dr. Lual Deng, who is the Executive Director of the Urban Center, a think tank, and also a coordinator of the National Dialogue Secretariat. Any question to him? Our lines are now open. 0912062079 or 0912062950. My name is Sunny Martin.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Welcome once again. If you have just joined us right now, our lines are open. You can join us and ask your question about the process of the national dialogue, whatever you want to know about it. You have heard from him. The process, according to Dr. Lual, by the end of this month, that's the beginning of September, the committees will be heading to the states to interact with the people at grassroots. And if you have got any question to him now, you can call us and ask Dr. Lual, and he will be happy to answer your questions or queries. Hello, Redimire. Hello, Redimire.
Hello, brother.
Your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Dr. Michael from Jongle State.
Okay, Michael from Jongle. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you. I would like to recognize the presence of our guests in the studio.
Thank you.
And all the Mariah listeners. My question will be straightforward. I have heard that the process of national dialogue has started. And indeed, the locations or the timetable that was already made that people should come to national dialogue has already gone. And we know very well that in South Sudan, the first process was supposed to involve all the stakeholders. So I would like to know from our guest, is the process going to be successfully before all the stakeholders are not involved? Hello, thank you.
Okay. Michael from Jongle. Yes, yes. Dr. Lwale, you can go ahead and answer his question.
This is a very important question. It's talking about inclusivity.
Yeah.
And this is what I have said.
Will it succeed if everybody is not on board?
It cannot succeed. It will not be. This is why we emphasize inclusivity. And inclusivity means we consult with the people who are outside. They cannot come to the country. But now we also, the people are going to go to the grassroots, consult with them. They allow them to select. So they will not, delegates will not be appointed. They will be selected by. So let us say women. Out of every 100 delegates, 25 will be women, 25 youths, and so forth. There are about 11 stakeholders or constituency. They will sit, select their own, and then they meet at the county level. We will think they would have been represented. Also, Akoba, for instance, since he's calling from Jongle, so the greater Jongle, for instance, Akoba is not in our hand. But they will be consulted through the church, through the South Sudan Council of Churches. And so they will also be consulted. They will hold their own dialogue forums at that level. We hope subsequently, hopefully, January, according to our roadmap, this is where you will now hold what we call the regional dialogue forums. For those who are familiar with the SPLM processes since the Chukudum First Convention, it's almost like the SPLM system of congresses where people are selected from the Boma to Payam to the county, and then from the county delegates are sent to the region. Mm-hmm. So it is same authority almost. So nobody is appointed except those who would, and you will find the MPs, the ministers at the state level, the commissioners, the counties, they are also members by their constitution. So they become stakeholders and they sit and they are the one to decide. So we feel that this train is moving very slow to allow people to climb. And when it takes momentum, we will not wait for everybody.
Okay.
After that, it will not be our problem because there will be people who are refusing
to join the train.
But okay, the train is open for them.
Right. You can also do the same on 0912062079. Hello, Redimira. Hello, Redimira.
Yes, Sonny Martin.
Your name and where are you calling from?
You are connected to Chief Salfa Mawir from your side, Jeva.
Okay. Chief Salfa from New Side here in Juba.
Yeah, you know, Son Martin, my question to the guest.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the time that President initiated what's so called dialogue. And it's those committee was being appointed and take the horse. I didn't see one day, one time, the change which supposed to be going on because I still quite not understand the word dialogue well, because you must who supposed to dialogue with you? Is it the person who fight with you, or is it the person who always sharing something with you? Because if it is somebody who's fight with you, most of the rebels that are still in the bush attacking the people, and how can the government or the committee get those people to dialogue with them? I still quite not understand the word dialogue. People are continuous with this while people are dying through anger, through fighting, through ambush, and people are still talking about dialogue. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Chief Salfa from Juba here.
Yes, he's right, because the dialogue has not yet started. We are preparing. The committee is to facilitate, is the one to convene. So the dialogue will begin. Is a conversation among the people of South Sudan. So it's not just, if government fighting rebels, that one is a peace agreement.
Mm.
But this one is a dialogue. The whole country is conversing, and it's starting from the grassroots to see what are their concerns at the grassroots level, and then how to look at the issues, how to live with their neighbors in peace, and what is their aspiration of the South Sudan, which we fought for. And so their views are, so it's a national conversation. which will be lead into around the nation building, the state building aspects, and all those things. So it is higher than the peace agreement, which is between the warring parties.
Yes, many citizens have also expressed their concerns about the head of the committee heading to the former 10 states. They say some of them are former governors of the same state they have been assigned to go, and that those former governors are alleged to have some people in the states who will not cooperate with them because they had some kind of, I should say, some people accused them of human rights violation, maybe sometimes arbitrary arrest. So was it a good idea to appoint them to head the same state they once ruled?
It is the leadership is aware about those concerns, but we say this is a dialogue. It is time now to talk. And these people who are going to go, they are convening. They are not the one talking. And they will identify.
You are aware about this concern, is it not necessary to appoint somebody from outside? Then the former governors that sit behind and give advice, maybe be sent to other states.
Not all the I'm aware of two states. Mm. I will not at this state. Yeah, two states. Mm. They have those concern, and the leadership is addressing that. So I cannot talk about it at this stage. But the leadership is aware about. So your question is in place. And the leaders is thinking of, there are various ways of addressing it.
Okay. Yeah. You can also join us right now on 0912062079. Hello, Redi Mirai.
Sonny Martin.
Your name and where are you calling from?
You are connected with James Duarte from WOW.
Okay, James Duarte from WOW. Go ahead, please, James, with your question.
Yeah, thank you, Sonny Martin. First of all, I appreciate the topic and... welcome the guest in the studio.
Thank you.
My question to him is this. Mm-hmm. As he's now talking about national dialogue. Now we are waiting for the fruit of national dialogue to be in a stage of reap. Now, how is he sure that the fruit of national dialogue will be soon reaped and even removed for the citizen to eat the fruit of national dialogue?
Okay.
So this is the first question, and the second question is this. Now, before you ask him of the way that they progress with the national dialogue, now, I'm not really knowing what are the good words that have been released and the part that they have succeeded. What can he tell the citizen that the part that they have succeeded and the fact that they have not yet covered?
Okay.
And when are they going to cover that site?
All right. Thank you so much, James Duarte from WOW.
Yes.
Yes, with the fruits.
The fruits, yes. As I said before, national dialogue is a process. So we are still at the preparatory phase. It's not yet started. But the fruits of the preparatory phase are two. The unilateral ceasefire, the president declared.
Which has not taken effect.
Yeah, it's not taken, but at least the fact that the president declared it and he followed it up with the Republican order, that gives us the chance now to talk to our brothers and sisters on the other side and talk to the international community, talk to them to have the ceasefire. The second fruit is the release of the political detainees. That is happening as we speak. Third, the space, I think, the fact that we are talking over Radio Miraya, you have seen also SSBC, there's that relative freedom of expression. This is, I think, is a fruit which we should appreciate. Okay. Now, second to your second part.
Mm-hmm. Of James.
Yeah, James' second part. Yes. The committees now will go to the states and to go down to the grassroots. So they will not be dealing with the state per se. I mean, at the regional level, that will come later on. They will start with the grassroots consultation. And we hope by that time the population will be informed of what is happening in each state, in each region, And again, what I said before is that we have not been effective communicating. So he has his point. It is time for us to begin to speak. And we have, I think, a number of colleagues from the steering committee who have been talking over Radio Marayo, iRadio, and so forth.
And Adam, Dr. Lola, are you optimistic that the outcome or the ideas which you are going to gather from people at different level, both inside and outside, will surely be implemented? Because people are looking here for a sustainable peace in South Sudan that will end all the grievances people have. Because at the end of the day, when you gather all the views of the people, you present it to the stakeholders, who is the government act in this case, would they really implement the ideas of the people? Because now other people are saying that if the stakeholders have failed to implement the agreement fully, how comes they will do, they will implement the resolution of the national dialogue at the end of the day?
No, maybe let me put your question again, because the stakeholders cannot fail to implement. They are not the one to implement. Mm-hmm. The stakeholders are the one talking. So you can say if the government...
Of course, the stakeholders, the agreement.
They're part of, because the stakeholders are the people, the constituencies and so forth. But then the implementation at the end of the day will be be the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, government cannot invest time and money. You know, the government is paying for this from the budget. So, the way I see it, government would not have, if it was not serious, they would not have invested.
Okay, how much money now are we talking about here?
Look at the new budget. You check on the new budget is put $2.4 billion for the process. And the process, the way we anticipated, national dialogue will take place, hopefully in February, March, next year, for a month here in Juba, where 1,200 people will converge. Why 1,200 delegates? Because the largest hall in Juba is the Freedom Hall.
Mm.
So there will be 1,200, of which 996 are coming from the Bomas, the Payams, the counties, through the regions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 204 that will represent now the refugees, the diaspora, and the people at the national capital. So at that stage, you know, the outcome, the output will be clearly debated, articulated, and it will be now given to the government, to the president. And the president will have to implement it, because he's leave all the money. What about credibility?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm interested of the money issue.
Yeah.
There were pledges made by Germany and Japan. Have this been forthcoming?
They are with the UNDP, because the way government decided at the time was the UNDP to be made as the manager of the fund.
Mm.
So funding coming from outside is going through that fund. We have not yet signed an agreement with the UNDP. There will be an agreement whereby there will be an oversight committee to manage the fund. But at this stage, we are managing from our own resources, which the government has given. So far, government has given $80 million. It's being used for the activities, and the new budget
in cash or pledges.
No, cash. Mm-hmm. Government has given cash. $80 million is being used for the 2 months. You said that for 2 or 3 months now, we have been keeping those committees working. And so forth, and also outside consultation.
Yes.
But,
Dr. Lowell, to what extent has this national dialogue received or attracted the attention of the international community?
It's great. You know, at the beginning, there was this hesitation. They felt that, even though the leadership may be credible, the secretariat, especially the institutions like the South Sudan Council of Churches, the Islamic Council, the Center for Peace, the Sud Institute, and the Ebony Center, they have their own credibility. But they were doubting. They were afraid that it would just be a rubber stamp, especially when the president said, consult everybody except Riek Machar should only send his people. But then when the steering committee decided to consult with Riek Machar, they started to say, it is credible. Also, the president decided not to be
a patron.
A patron. But he's the president, so we still say, no, president has to be consulted.
Mm.
So he, in other countries, he's not just a patron.
So
he's the chairperson, by the way. In the other countries, all the national dialogue, the chairperson is the president of the country.
So how independent is the steering committee right now?
In what sense now?
In the sense of that there are no kind of
decision, decision making. Yeah.
You don't need to consult the president before.
They are independent. But then they are required to brief the president on steps, and this is what we have been advised by the international community themselves, that keep the president in form, because he's the president, as the president of the country, not a patron. So he needs to know what is happening. And so when the delegation went to South Africa, came back to brief him, he did mention that, okay, you are briefing me in my capacity as the president, not as a patron. Mm. And this is what we are saying then.
Okay, there is a question here coming via our text number from Kur in Gudele 1. He says, Dr. Lual, you are aware of what is going on here in Juba. It's like a group of religion people are not in support of this national dialogue. So is it necessary to engage them in terms of educating them on the importance of this national dialogue?
Yeah, that because we have heard such things. So on the 11th, I think it was a Friday on the 11th of August, we invited the Secretary General of South Sudan Council of Churches, Father Dr. James Oyed, to come and talk to us. And he was very clear, and he said, look, well, this country people are free to say whatever they want to say.
But these are the people who have large followers.
Yeah, but this was exactly what he was saying, that the church, you cannot say the church is against the national dialogue, because the church is represented in the secretariat, which is true. There are three members in the secretariat nominated by South Sudan Council of Churches. So unless there are churches which are not associated, I understand that church is outside the umbrella of South Sudan Council of Churches. The second was that the leadership of the church is requesting to meet with the president. Where that part is not, we have said, is not within our control, and we were not aware of. So the church, of course, and he advised us, that Dr. James, that when you go to the even we, the priests and the church leaders, we are traumatized. This is what he was saying. We were born in war.
Mm.
So he said, when you go to the church on Sundays. Yeah, please, you listen, you take whatever, if the priest or the preacher is preaching according to the Bible, take it. If preaching according to his personal, live in that church.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Redemira understands that there is some kind of division among the members of the steering committee. Some members, I say, to sometimes call for meeting at their own will and can decide who to attend and not to attend. What's your reaction to this allegation? Some members of the steering committee.
Yeah.
It said that there is a kind of there's no harmonious working relationship among the members of the steering committee. Some members are alleged to sometimes call for a meeting and invite people whom they feel should attend and avoid others. This is just a kind of
I always said, you know, when you are managing people, they will always...
First of all, does that exist in the steering committee?
No. First of all, with the 1 month which was spent, the 1 month people used to be asked to register the day before.
There was low attendance.
No, but to register, to speak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that nobody feel that he's left out.
Mm-hmm.
So people registered, and then you followed the rules. And also there was no limitation, so that not to anger them. So people used to speak.
You can talk for the whole day.
Yeah, you can talk for the whole day. We say use the Taposa model, where people sit under the tree and they talk. Secondly, when we now use the second of month, they've now formed committees, subcommittees. These subcommittees, the leadership, they have their heads of the subcommittees. So to manage now, these are the people who are being called when there are no setting, there are no session, because sessions are from Monday to Thursday. But lately,
so you will say there's no division.
No division, because some people feel that why the subcommittee chairs are being called to what they call a large leadership. But this is how you manage people.
Okay, is there a timeline for this national dialogue? Because that's the thing worrying people here.
Yeah, I mentioned before, so let me say it again. The timeline is this, the roadmap, if I don't know what time you have, but we said next month people go to the field.
September.
Yeah, they do consultation with the grassroots, the dialogue there, forums. They come back in September, in October. We do the analysis, and then they go back, hopefully in January, to all the regional dialogue forums. They come back, we do the analysis, and then the delegates converge in Juba around mid-February, and the debate will be here for a month.
Mm.
So we hope by mid-March, there will now be the end of the dialogue, and then the secretary will sit down, may take another month or so for the leadership now to compile and give the report to the president. Okay. So by May, we will now talk about the post dialogue or the implementation phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is the timeline.
Okay. Dr. Lola, our time is coming to an end. Are you optimistic that the national dialogue can be a tool to an everlasting solution to our current problem in South Sudan?
You know, the John Garang, God bless his soul, taught us one thing, that be always optimist. Be an optimist always. So I'm an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is what I can say.
Okay. And finally, you talked about it briefly, but I want us to shed more lights on the revitalization forum that was convened for experts and academics in Ethiopia last week. Yeah. What are some of the outcomes of this? Because it is in connection with the current peace process in South Sudan.
So the outcome is that the dialogue is not a substitute to the peace agreement. And they so clearly, if anything, actually dialogue is a facilitator for the implementation of the peace agreement. Because the peace agreement has talked about a lot of reforms. Those reforms, they will come through the national dialogue. Second aspect, they have seen the process of the national dialogue. There's a space being created as we are speaking here. They also the release of the detainees, the political detainees, is a plus. The fact that also a national dialogue is calling for cessation of hostilities is also a positive point. So they have seen clearly, I think, I've not yet seen the communique, it's not yet issued, but they have seen clearly that national dialogue is not a substitute, it's a complementary element to the revitalization of the peace agreement.
Dr. Lual, thank you so much for coming to our studio here and shed more lights on the progress of the national dialogue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Most welcome.
Yes, we have come to the end of this program, and my guest today was Dr. Lual Deng, the Executive Director of the Urban Center, a think tank in Juba, and also Coordinator of the National Dialogue Secretariat. From me, Sunny Martin, and the rest of the teams here, thank you so much for listening, and bye-bye for now.
Hey girl, I got a feeling inside, yeah. When you whine and taking link pan, yeah. Me love it when you dance like, oh yeah. And me love it when you, yeah, oh yeah. Nobody gonna tell me nothing, nothing. Cause me love the way you give me that thing, that thing. Keep up the bottle, never seen before. Get your body move till them hoes say what one.
If you love me, girl, never let me. Shop the place.
night stand. Never diss me, get fully temper. I'ma give you warm to your body and soul. After we done, I'ma give you right home. Get your tease me. I never diss me. Me not pretend, me wanna. Then we rolling, we smoking ganja.